right, we're going to start with our post-race presser here this afternoon. And for today's Verizon 200 at the Brickyard for the NASCAR Cup Series, we've now been joined by our race-winning team, including driver A.J. Allmendinger, team owner Matt Colleg, and president of Colleg Racing, Chris Rice. Well, first of all, A.J., you've made several comments in your interviews before that you're only going to keep doing this as long as it's fun. So my question is, was that fun?
That was fun.
We got you.
But, yeah, I mean, it was – I mean, that was chaotic. You know, we – honestly, we didn't really have a race-winning car on outright speed. We were probably about 7th to 10th. I sped on pit road, so I just kind of carried on for how I felt yesterday. So put us in the back there, and we were just fighting hard. I thought we'd probably maybe get in the edge of the top 10 and have a solid day. You know, for a makeshift, really, pit crew that we – I shouldn't say makeshift, but a crew that we don't work with all the time. They did a fantastic job, great pit stops. But, yeah, once that chaos started happening, we started getting close to the front. I had a really good restart on the first one. I think we were restarting 17th with 8 to go and was able to get to 7th through all that mess and thought, all right, you know, now we're at least in shouting distance of it. Knew a couple of the cars had older tires, and that second restart got to 3rd, and it's like, okay, now we got a shot at this. And, you know, the best part is when you got Matt Colleg and Chris Rice getting on the radio and just going, hey, we're not here for friends. We're not here for points. We're here to win this race. So win it or basically bring it back on the hook, you know, that kind of frees up a race car driver to go after it. And I just can't believe the way it played out. I had a great restart. I thought I might take the lead off turn 2, and Denny kind of leaned on me, which he should. I would have done the same thing. And I saw Chase come back on the racetrack. Well, at that point, they were just telling me that he had a penalty, so I thought, all right, you know, maybe I can kind of make a run for the last lap and a half here at Denny. And they had contact, and all of a sudden the seas parted, and then from there it was just run like hell because I knew Kyle and Chase and Ryan were back there, and they were pretty good all day. So I put in about as good of a lap and a half as I could.
All right, and we'll continue to Matt Colleg. Congratulations on this NASCAR Cup Series victory, but just you guys had so much fun kissing the bricks and enjoying the celebration. Just give us a quick recap of what it feels like.
Well, it's a really surreal situation. I've been coming here since I was a little kid. You know, I lived in Cincinnati, grew up in Cincinnati, and then lived in Chicagoland, so we'd, you know, come down to the Indy 500 every year. And, you know, just to be, and I was at the very first, the Brickyard 400, when that inaugural race, I think back in, what, 94? And so I've been to several of those, and to actually be the team that that gets to do that is just, it's actually surreal. Even just sitting in front of you guys right now and looking at the empty track and knowing that we were just out there and have this trophy now is just, I'm really excited for these guys that have been doing this. You know, these guys have been doing this their whole life. I've been doing it for 6 years. And just really proud of you guys and all of our teammates, you know, that have made racing their life and NASCAR their life. And so the fact that we were able to deliver this is really cool.
All right. And, Chris, give us your thoughts. I was afraid there for a minute you might fall off the pit box when A.J. crossed the finish line. But tell us what it means to take home today's victory.
It's unbelievable. I'm just going to be dead honest. I thought I was going to throw up walking down pit road. But, you know, the day A.J. walked in, I didn't even know who he was. I knew I liked A.J. and I liked his fire. And I knew we needed somebody to help us grow our program with Justin Haley, Jeb Burton, and all those guys. And I knew A.J. could, if he came and have fun, he would win races for us, and he made us so much better at these right-hand turns and left-hand turns, but he's made us great. But to win a cup race and to sit in a amazing venue like this and think about it, I don't even know what to say. I told somebody down there just a minute ago, they said, just soak it all in, and I said, I can't. I don't even know what to do. I'm still have cold chills. I love these guys. You know, AJ knows how much I love him. He was at my house the other day, and, yeah, to win a race here, I still want to cry, but I can't. Everybody at Colleg Racing, my wife that's here and put up with me when we didn't even have nothing. When Matt Colleg said, hey, you want to start a race team? I'm like, you're crazy. It's October 31st. He said, no, let's do it. To winning at Indy 5.5 years later. I love it. Thank you.
All right. Well, we're going to start with questions. There's a microphone here in the back that you can use to ask your question and to take our first question. We'll start with Bruce. Go ahead, Bruce.
Bruce Meyer with Speed Sport. Dinger, how special is it to get your first win here the same year that your good friend Mike Shank won his first IndyCar race in the Indy 500?
Yeah, Bruce. I mean, that, you know, on Memorial Day weekend there, you know, I sat in my house and, I mean, bawling. Like watching when Elio won and just knowing everything that Mike had been through, I like literally just couldn't stop crying during the day because I was so happy for him. And I just remember just thinking, God, I wish I could just share that with him, you know, like, and like to show who Mike Shank is. He came to our race at Mid-Ohio the next week. Like, he had better things to do, but came and supported us and we won there. So, I mean, it's just unbelievable to be able to, like, now have this rich history and be able to share that with him and do it in the same year. Like, it's, you know, it's like both of these. You know, I drive for Mike, and it's the same thing with Matt and Chris. Like, I drive for them, but, like, I'm not the driver, and they're my bosses. Like, we're all brothers and close friends. And you want success for that, and you want to be able to share that. So, like, to be able to do this now on the same year, like, it's – like, I'm sure me and him are going to – we actually have his golf tournament tomorrow, so that's going to be fun. I can't – like, I don't know what to do. Like, it's going to be insane. It, like, we're going to be sitting there like, really? Like, the same year we just did this? Like, so it's special is not even, like, the biggest understatement in the world.
And also, you drove for Roger Penske in NASCAR. You led laps here in the 2013 Indy 500. And now you were able to basically get the trophy from him in victory lane. How cool is that?
Well, I saw him right before the race. Like, as I was getting in the car, he hugged me, and I said, Roger, I love you. Because everything that Roger's always done for me, but I was like, at that time, I was like, I'm not a big fan of yours right now because you beat me yesterday in the Xfinity race. So I wasn't a big fan of that. But, no, I mean, it's like what Roger's always done for my life and my career and what he's done for this place. I mean, it's always been so beautiful, but now you look at it with all of his staff and the IMS staff that have really upgraded this place. Like, it's so cool looking.
The bathrooms are really nice.
Yeah.
I'm going to give him that. The bathrooms are great.
So it's, like, it's quite amazing. Like, and you just, you know, you, like, 2013 happened, and it's, like, always in the back of your mind, I was like, okay, was that my only chance, like, my real chance to win at Indy? And I was so disappointed yesterday because I thought, man, maybe that was my closest chance to win at Indy, and we didn't make it happen. And even after, you know, Watkins Glen, all the ups and downs through the next couple of years, like, kind of like, I'd like to win another cup race, but it's freaking hard. Like, it's hard to win a cup race. And we did it here at Indy.
Dale McFadden, frontstretch.com. AJ, so the emotions you're feeling right now, how do they compare to what you experienced in Watkins Glen 7 years ago now?
Well, I mean, I think Watkins Glen was something that, I mean, it was amazing to go through all the ups and downs and win that race and for Tad and Jody and Brad. But in a way, it was kind of almost like a relief as well. Like, okay, I don't have to ever get asked about will you ever win a cup race. You know, mm-hmm. Like it was – so you enjoy it, but – at the same point, you're kind of like, okay, thank goodness now. It's like the relief is gone. I don't have that hanging over me anymore. So it kind of takes a little bit of the enjoyment away. This, I mean, I don't even know. Like, we know showing up at the road course races, like, we have fast race cars, but, like, at Indy, the way that played out, like, I mean, this is just pure enjoyment that I don't, like, I'm going to have to tell you, I retire now. Sorry, guys. I'm done.
I said the same thing.
I'm done. I'm out.
Thanks for playing.
I'm not going to Michigan next week.
That's fine.
I'm kidding, by the way. I'm going to Michigan. We got a championship to win.
Matt, this team is basically 8 months away or whatever from starting its first full-time campaign in this series.
Yep.
Does this feel like you announcing your arrival moment? Is this like a shot across everyone's bow? What does this mean in that sense?
No, it's I'm really proud of the team. You know, we went into this season knowing that we were going to run a handful of cup races, maybe 8 or 10. You know, we're running the road courses, we're running the super speedways, and you know, one of the reasons that Chris and I talked about doing that is just to get just almost to get familiar, you know, with the Cup Series. I mean, it's a little bit different than the Xfinity Series, and the garage is different, and people, you know, we wanted people to know who we were, and, you know, what we're all about. And we knew putting AJ in the car every week at these road courses would actually give us a chance to run really well. And so I don't think it's not an announcement to the sport or to other teams that we're here. I mean, we've been here. We feel like we've been here and growing, you know, towards winning a championship in the Xfinity Series and then being able to compete, you know, in the Cup Series. But, you know, what it does allow us to do is it more legitimizes us as a successful race team, so that, you know, you get employee. It's better for your employees. It's better for your drivers. It's better for your crew chiefs and engineers. And it allows you to get more and better people. It allows sponsors to trust that you're going to show up and be great. And so for me, it shows that more than anything. And that's what I'm really happy about. All the success that we're having on the track. I get happy for all of our teammates. But it's growing our business as Colic Racing, and so that's really exciting.
Hi, AJ, Rob Peters, Indianapolis Star. I have a quick question for you. You kind of had a front row seat for a lot of that late race chaos that went down, and I was kind of curious to hear your opinion on this. You know, you won at Watkins Glen, and throughout all of NASCAR, you know, they tend to allow drivers to use as much and as all of the track as they possibly can. After what you saw today, do you think that NASCAR should continue to allow for you to use any part of the track, or would you like to see them maybe police track limits a little bit more?
No, I mean, I think it's tough with these cars, and, you know, I get it in the sense that we all got to race in the limits of the racetrack too, but, you know, these cars are so big, and it's not, and having driven an Indy car, like, when these things get out of control, like, you're along for the ride at times. You know, an Indy car, you can kind of correct and save sometimes, and it's a little easier. Like, these things, when you get side-by-side, they're wide, you're beating on each other. Like, you'd need room to be able to maneuver, to make a mistake and get away with it. You know, I mean, I thought today with the curbing out, like, from the Xfinity race yesterday, that was a good call. And I thought track limits were fine. The biggest problem, obviously, was the curbing that was coming up. But I was shocked where they were having to fix it because, you know, you get shoved over there sometimes or you start using more of it, and that's when it becomes a problem, because where I felt like I was hitting the curbing, like, I never had an issue with it. Where they were having to fix it was almost, like, way before it, where cars were kind of jumping over the top of it. But the thing is with those curbs, you pay a price anyway, and we saw it. Like, when you hit them wrong, like, you pay the price. Now, unfortunately today it was a huge price for a lot of cars. We don't need that. We don't need to be tearing up race cars that much. And I mean, that's a lot of money that these team owners they have to go through. I was sitting under red, like, watching it, like, holy moly, like, we're going through a lot of money right now. But at the same point, it's our own job to not run over it that way. So there's a fine line. Like, you can't just drive wherever you want to, but, you know, this racetrack doesn't allow that because it has grass. Like, you get off in the grass, it tears stuff up. So I thought the racetrack has the right limitations. It's just, unfortunately, the curbing was starting to come up in the wrong spot when you hit it.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you.
All right, additional questions?
Christopher DeHardy, Indianapolis Star. AJ, your progress through the field after the caution for the second stage break, how were you able to manage your way through the field like that, the way you did before everything went crazy?
Chris going, hey, don't tear off the front of this car. Still need the front of it. So, that was actually a pretty good impression right there. I felt good about that one.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
No, I mean, like, you know, it's... At the end of the day, it's still important to get the best finish possible. Even if you don't, like, and at that point, I didn't really feel like we had a shot to win. It's still big for the team to run inside the top 10. I mean, and so that's always my goal, is to try to get the most out of the race car and get the highest finish possible, whether that's 20th that day, 10th or whatever. So it was just trying to be smart, get up through the field. I thought we were going to get to maybe 12th, 11th, and thought, okay, you know, I cost us some track position. I thought we were like a 7th to 10th place car. And so I'm like, all right. And then once the restart's happening, you know, when you're restarting 17th, winning was not even in my mind. But after that first restart, with all the chaos that happened, getting up to 7th, at that point, there was only about three cars that were ahead of us that were on good tires. And then at that point, it was game on. So, but that's always the way I feel like for these guys and for all the men and women at College Racing, like no matter how it's going, I still want to get the best finish possible. And that's how I look at it, no matter what's going on, whether it's a chance to win or you're running 15th and you have a chance to finish 13th. Like that's the goal, is finish as high as you can.
Shank just called me, by the way. Yeah.
All right.
Well, that actually leads into my next question. You know, you have a long relationship with Michael Shank. You've seen him build up his IndyCar program from a part-time program to one car full-time, now two cars next year. How do you believe that this is the right way that your team owner is doing it now? Like, how well do you think he's doing it the right way like that?
Well, man.
How am I doing?
It's going all right. I think it's okay. No, I mean, all joking aside, when I didn't know Matt, I didn't know Chris. When they called me at the beginning of 2019 and said, hey, will you run some races for us? I said, sure. Now, I had watched the program for 3 years. They were a single-car team, and I liked that because I thought, okay, they're at least building it the right way, because you can start trying to just add a cars to it and make it better, and that becomes worse. You know, in 2019, we ran, you know, one full-time car as a part, you know, two cars, and obviously at Daytona, it was three cars when Ross won. And then the next year, it was kind of starting to add more. And then this year, you know, the right people in place and you have the right resources, you run three full-time Xfinity cars, and then you start the Cup program. So I've always thought the way Matt and Chris go about it are the right ways, because you're not trying to get too big too early, because that can really kill a program. And, you know, that's part of the attraction of the team as well.
Thanks.
Justin, go ahead.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. A couple questions. AJ, you talked about when Shank won that you cried. Why didn't you cry for yourself today?
He will. Just give him a minute. A couple
yeah.
more beers.
Oh, it was. Because Matt would make fun of me if I started crying. That's the biggest thing. That is true.
Come on.
Yeah, that's true.
Tough.
Yeah.
You're a race car driver.
Because it means, like, I'm gonna really enjoy this. Don't get me wrong when I say this. But it means more to me to watch my close friends, my brothers, have success than it does for me. Because I'm okay in life. Life's good. I got a great wife. My parents have been fantastic. You know, like, I love driving for them. Like, life is good. So seeing, especially like Mike and me and him having our ups and downs together, where there was times he had to pull me up and like, dude, come drive for me. And there was times where he's like, I can't pay you. I'm like, I don't care. Like, I'll drive for you. Like, whatever you need. That means more to me than anything, is to see my friends and my close brothers have success, especially at, you know, the Indianapolis 500. You know, you can argue the biggest race in the world. So that's what meant so much to me. And that's why I like was just like lost for emotion there, because like it's huge for him. You know, I love what we're sitting here being able to do right now, but like, it's like, for me, I'm like, this is awesome for me. But for them, I'm like, man, they deserve it, because he puts so much of his own money into it. He puts every, and you can ask Tammy where she's standing, every dying moment into this race team and all the men and women. So like, I love it for myself, but I always say I drive really for a couple of people. I drive for myself because it's pure enjoyment, challenging myself, and it's really pushing myself for all the men and women at that race team, because they're the ones putting their heart and soul and really my life in their hands. So that's why I enjoy it so much, really, Dustin.
And also, AJ and even Matt, you've talked about that for next year, you know, AJ would be in a partial Cup ride at this point. Obviously, things can change. Does this give you consideration to change? And AJ, would you even want to do the
I've retired, Dustin. I'm done.
Done.
Yeah. Before Matt, I will do whatever they want me to do. I've told them that from day one. Like, I love whatever they feel like I can help raise the organization and help push it, I'll do that, whatever that may be. So, like, whatever program we're on, like, I'm enjoying it.
Matt, I mean.
Yeah, and we're working on, and he does say that, and he has said that, and he truly will. I mean, we'd have to make sure whatever the situation is, we would like to run two full-time, you know, cup cars next year, and we're working out the details as far as drivers and sponsors and just how all of that looks.
Just open up a can of worms, by the way.
You think?
Yeah. He's done talking right now.
All right, I'm done talking.
Hey, Carly, you're good luck tomorrow.
Yeah. You're good. It's good.
All right, Bruce, you coming back for another question?
AJ, you had a great view of the 14 getting into the 11.
Did they fight, by the way? No, they didn't.
You know, we were kind of trying to egg them on, but it didn't happen. But you had a great view of that, and what went through your mind when you saw that?
I honestly didn't. I saw the like, as it happened, I was kind of more worried about, I think Blaney at that point was right behind me, because they were telling me that the 14 had a penalty, and I knew Denny was on old tires, so I was like, okay, if I can, in my mind, I was like, I made a run at Denny on the restart, and he used me up, and I thought, okay, like, that's fair, like, I'd do the same thing, and I was trying to hold Ryan back, and I thought, okay, if I can just get through these couple of corners, maybe I can make a run, like a last lap run at this and go for it. Well, when I saw the 14 hook the 11, I was like, okay, well, that's easier. And at that point, I knew the 14, they were still saying had a penalty. In my mind, I figured he wasn't going to stop. He was going to run it out. And if I caught him, that was going to cause a problem with Ryan behind me or whoever was going to be behind me. So I didn't really see how it happened. I just saw the aftermath of it, and then thank goodness Chase went down on the next corner and overshot it. So at that point, it was just trying to put in like the best last lap of my life and try to get away, because here at the Brickyard, I think it's all bets are off. Anybody behind you is going to come send it and move you out of the way. So I was just trying to make sure I got out of that area of that happening.
And when they dropped the green flag to restart, was there a lot of blocking and tackling between you and the Chase?
No, not really. Denny, he had a good restart. I had a good launch with him, and I kind of went low, and he defended it. And Ryan kind of stuck to my bumper. I think we were all trying to get the inside row to go, and I shot the middle and got in there, and Denny got in wide, and I got to the outside of him. And that's when he kind of used me up, which, like I said, I mean, I'd have drove myself straight into the field if I had to. But it was fair. So, like, it just, on the restarts, anything goes, especially here because it's a long straightaway into a hairpin corner. So I was just happy to get through the first couple of corners clean, and then from there, see what was really going to happen.
All right, Bob, go ahead.
Bob Pockris, Fox Sports. Matt, you have three cars probably in the Xfinity playoffs. I assume you came in the season looking for an Xfinity championship, but does this win, I mean, no matter what else happens this year, does this win make this a successful season?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I mean, it's been a very successful season. I mean, we've got three wins. AJ's got two in the Xfinity Series, and now this. I mean, this is like, we wouldn't have dreamed this happen. I mean, that literally wouldn't have dreamt that even this could happen this year. It wasn't even part of the plans. You're trying to run well, but it's... again, a surreal experience to be. I mean, we've got a bunch of races left. I mean, we're more than halfway through the season, but we're completely focused on the Xfinity Series. We're completely focused on winning a championship in the Xfinity Series. So, you know, we'll run a couple more cup races. Obviously we'll go out there and try to win those, but believe me, the focus is 100% on getting these guys, whoever it is, if it's AJ or Jeb or Justin, an Xfinity championship, and that's what we're doing. And that's what we want. That's what we want for us.
And for Chris, was there any thought, did you think that NASCAR might just stop the race with the issues with the curbs? And if they did, would you have been okay with it?
I would have been fine with it, but I didn't think they would. I mean, it was the first race here on the road course, the inaugural race. I felt like they wanted to finish it. And, you don't know what the challenges are that they're going to have with these cars that are low, right? We ran here for two races and had no issues with that. Our cars don't have, or the Xfinity cars are not low ride cars. So, you know, they did a great job. I mean, I applaud NASCAR for even coming here to try something different. So I would have been fine with it, but I applaud them for letting us race it out, obviously because we won, but I was happy sitting there seventh, to be honest with you. So, no, I never had a thought in my mind that they would quit it.
All right, go ahead, Daniel.
Matt, you already mentioned how you'd been coming here since you were a kid. So I guess for just all three of you, could you each, like, share what is your absolute, like, earliest memory attached to this facility or the first time you ever stepped foot on the property?
Oh, let's see. The race that I remember most was when Danny Sullivan won. So what was that, 85? So that's I think that's my earliest recollection of actually, you know, we'd come to the track, it's huge and fun, but I mean I don't think I was a giant fan of all the racers, but I remember. And I actually got to have dinner with Danny a couple of years ago and met him. I sat, you know, we were sitting at a reception in New York City, and he and I just started talking about racing. And, you know, it was just really cool because I didn't know it was Danny Sullivan. I mean, it looks different than he did in 1985. And so, you know, I'm talking to him, and I said, hey, what's your name? He said, Danny. I said, well, what kind of work do you do? And he said, well, I was a race car driver. I'm like, well, that's cool. Like, what kind? He's like IndyCar. And I'm like, what's your name? He said, Danny Sullivan. I'm like, what? Why didn't you say you were Danny Sullivan? So, you know, I still talk back and forth. I'm sure he'll text me tonight, you know, congratulating us on the win. And so, but that's my earliest memory.
Yeah, for me, I mean, I grew up watching the Indy 500, and I think the one that always stood out to me as a kid was Little Al and Ammo going through turn three there and having the contact and just the battle. And then I was always such a huge Jeff Gordon fan growing up. Like that was my guy, was Jeff Gordon. Through sprint cars, I just loved watching him in sprint car racing. And then when he got in NASCAR and obviously the inaugural race here, watching him win that on TV as a kid, I was really excited. And, you know, the first time here, honestly, for me was, like, walking into the place was 2007, my rookie year in Cup. And I remember I smashed the wall off of turn four trying to hold it wide open to try to make the show. By the way, it didn't work out very well. I didn't make the race. So, you know, but that's – I remember people always telling me, like you walk into it, but on race day it's different. And, you know, I got to experience that in 2008 here, but – really, it stood out to me was 2013, like walking through Gasoline Alley for the Indy 500, and I had Roger Penske walking next to me. He's gonna call my race, and like, good or bad, I don't mean it when I say this, but it was like I was like, I'm walking with God right now. Like this is what God feels like. Like while I'm walking with Roger Penske, Indy 500, and he's calling my race. I'm driving for Roger Penske, and like that moment will always stand out to me as like. I felt like I was an out of body. I was watching myself walk with Roger, like, and it was so special to me. And the way the race played out was crazy. And I remember taking the lead, and like I in the car kind of lost my mind, almost like, oh my God, I'm leading the Indy 500. There's still 130 to go. I had to calm down, but like that's all of a sudden I go, okay, like now I get it. Like this is what it means here, with the packed house and you know. Running the Indy 500 for Roger Penske, so that memory will always be special in my mind. And part of the reason, that's why people ask me if I'll ever run the Indy 500 again. Part of the reason is like I don't ever want to mess that memory up. Like, and it's true because it was so special to me.
Mine's probably more NASCAR. Dale Earnhardt, I think he, what was it, 95? He won his first one. Is that right? And deep down inside, I'm a huge Darrell Waltrip fan. I mean, y'all know with my you watch my social media, how mouthy I am, how, you know, wide really? Open I am. That's the way Darrell Waltrip was. But Dale Earnhardt winning here probably meant more to me as a little kid than I can remember. Elliott Sadler, myself, won I don't know, a bunch of races that year and won championships, and I always said, hey, we were the Dale Earnhardts of late model stock car racing then, and that just – I remember that race, and I remember those cars, and I remember how cool it was to watch all the fans. And the first time I came here, I think I was working with the Petties, and I walked in, and I think we tested, and I told my wife this story this weekend. And I walked in, and I go, holy moly, this place is amazing. You know, it was just how – we would go to St. Elmo's, and you do things like that. I'd raced at ORP a bunch of times, but walk in here and see all this and think about, you know, thousands and thousands of people packing in here. And I still sit here and cannot believe we kissed the bricks. And just something that fame, right? Like, I mean, that's something that is unbelievable. So probably the Dale Earnhardt win, you know, Richard Childress Racing being a very, very crucial partner of ours, helping us to get to the level we're at and being part of us is probably something that we failed to talk about today. I mean, but they've been very crucial. Richard is a good friend of ours. You know, Matt now owns about 14 acres down there and owns a couple buildings. But Dale Earnhardt, probably the late Dale Earnhardt, and is probably my fame memory. I think he won 3 races here, and every time he won, I kind of got cold chills.
All right. Well, gentlemen, congratulations. We hope you guys enjoy this.
Cheers.
One, and we appreciate you spending some time with us.
Thanks, guys.